Hello and welcome to the Koi Sports CIC Grassroots Podcast, focusing on linking business with grassroots sports. My name's David Waldridge, and in this episode, I'll be speaking with Steve Gardner from We Fix Feet, an elite champion at Koi Sports, and the grassroots organisation that he's decided to invest in, Step Out, Stay Out, a brilliant organisation that offers football coaching skills to those currently within the prison system in the view of rehabilitation. So without further delay, let's get started on this episode of the Koi Sports CIC Grassroots Podcast.
I'm Stephen Gardner. I'm an advanced clinical practitioner at We Fix Feet. We Fix Feet specialises in foot healthcare and sports injury prevention and management. I've worked out in this industry for over about 17 years, where we provide management to our clients on musculoskeletal and biomechanical injuries. We Fix Feet is it's a foot care clinic that, as I said, a sports injury clinic where we treat patients in. We're on the border of Derbyshire and Nottinghamshire. We have two clinics, one in Beeston, Nottinghamshire, and the other one in Ilkeston, Derbyshire.
How important really is it then for us to keep our feet healthy? And you mentioned sports injuries there. Is that a particular clientele for you?
Yeah, we do. We have a mix on it. So our social demographics quite varied from anything from children with problems such as like verrucas, ingrown toenails, all the way up to the elderly who just can't reach the feet. But in with that as well, we do have people who are, you know, either the weekend warriors or professional athletes on that. So keeping healthy feet is important. It's a way of making you feel good, stay active. And if you neglect your feet, then that can lead to some unnecessary pain and other foot problems. Plus, it's vital for your mobility and sport. So if you think about it, that in your lifetime, an average person probably walks around about 100,000 miles in a year. It's important that you take care of your feet and the lower limbs as part of your daily routine.
I imagine you hear it quite a lot of the time that the reason a particular client's feet have been neglected for so long is purely because they didn't really think about it. It wasn't an area of interest for them.
No. A lot of people, like you say, a lot of people come to us when they've either got a problem or they can't maintain the feet. And it's, as you just said, most people just think of their feet is at the end of the legs. And you're typical, if you think of most people, they'll get out of the shower in the morning, dry the tops of the feet, but forget anything underneath the feet or in between the toes and anything. And like you say, they don't really think about them until they've either noticed something or there is a problem, and that's when they come out to seek us. But realistically, you only get one pair of feet. You should really be looking after them on a regular basis.
What are the most common problems then that people come to you with after neglecting their feet, and what can we do on a daily basis to overall improve the health of our feet?
People tend to forget one is the drying underneath the feet and in between the toes. So that gives rise to general fungal infections such as athlete's foot, fungal nail. And those that are in do a lot of sports when we can go into gyms and things like that. So when we're using communal areas such as pools, changing rooms, etc., if we don't wear anything like flip-flops or sliders or anything like that, then we can quite easily pick up the fungal infections there or verrucas and warts on it. But we also had to see different ranges, especially now with, as we are currently down in lockdown, people can't go to gyms and things like that. So they are still trying to keep activity up. So people are doing a lot more sporting activities or exercise at home. And because they've not got the equipment there, they're trying to do things themselves and creating more lower limb injuries. And that's where we start to see more postural problems and alignment problems as well.
Would you like to see more awareness then made around the health of feet, around posture? Because from what you've said so far, a lot of problems that people tend to have with their feet often come from other areas within the body.
Yeah, there is one week a year. It's called National Foot Week, and it's like you say, it's not very publicised on that. And we do our bit of publicising it. It's normally around October each year, but it doesn't get through. If you look into most general health food, Public Health England, etc., doesn't get the promotion it normally does. And like you say, with most anything, it's the old saying: if your feet hurt, you hurt all over. And it's quite true, really. So if you aren't able to you get pain in your feet, then you're going to reduce your mobility because you can't go out and walk. Yeah, infection then affects your daily life. But it also has an effect as well on those people who have diabetes, the feet are the first ones that will notice any problems with healing problems, loss of sensation. And again, then if you look at the people who are sporting injuries as well, develop an injury through sport in the lower limbs, it will have a knock-on effect to then the knees, back, shoulders, etc. So it, anything really that involves the lower limbs can manifest anywhere up the body.
I know you've touched upon it already, but probably your most common clientele, it's fair to say, is the athletes. But does it tend to be a particular level, maybe professional, amateur, grassroots, or is it open to anyone really?
No, we see all of them, like I say, anything from those that are just playing their local team at the weekends or during the week to those that are professionals as well. So we do get a quite a mix. We get a mix from local local teams to those that just go out to keep themselves fit. We have worked with some first and second division football teams as well where we've seen people.
Now, when I think of foot healthcare, I'm thinking of verrucas and warts, but I imagine there's a wide range of services that you offer beyond that. What would you say are the most common problems that you see on a daily basis?
We see a lot of people on what we call our general foot care, which is routine management of their feet. So it's anything from cutting toenails, removing corns, hard skin. But we also see a lot of people with fungal infections, so that can either be included in athlete's foot, fungal nails, because it is a hard condition to treat. Verrucas, we always see a big influx of those beginning of the year and when children go back to school, here's a big influx. And then for those now, purely because of during COVID restrictions, we've been seeing a lot more people who are taking a little bit more, say, let's say, pride in themselves and also in their general health. So we're getting to see a lot of people now who are coming in for biomechanical and gait analysis and looking at their posture. So they're thinking more of long-term effects and how it's going to affect them in the long term and working from there. Instead of just now coming to us when they have a problem, they're now looking for the future and how to reduce any injury management.
I bet your nightmare is when someone turns around who has a problem but says, "Don't worry, I've got a foot spa, it will fix it all."
That's correct, yeah, we do. It is one of our nightmares when people say, "Yes, we use the foot spa, we've got a foot spa at home and all the family members use it, we swap it around, yes." But they don't realise it's a little breeding ground for little bugs and things.
So if I need to use your services at We Fix Feet, do I need to go and see my general practitioner first or can I come straight to you guys?
No, we're a private clinic, so we do accept referrals via a GP, but most of our clients come to us direct. So you can just self-refer yourself and just by calling us or booking through our website or our social media channels and just selecting the service you want and then booking in and coming in to see us.
Now, I'm really intrigued to hear your answer to this next question. What would you say is your biggest achievement as a company?
Well, especially over the last 12 months, we've done quite a lot. We've looked at our systems and everything. Just been awarded Best Foot and Ankle Clinic for 2021 through one of the Community Health Awards. But we tend to focus our achievements through core values that we've experienced. Where we look at our team first, where we're open and honest, we try and go above and beyond and we invest in our people.
You mentioned the values there of We Fix Feet. Is that why you became an elite champion with Koi Sports? Because those values are mirrored?
Yeah, it is. Because one of our core values is we like to work with our local community through various projects. I find it particularly important to build relationships, not only with local community, but by anybody. It could be local community, it could be sports clubs. Anybody by helping them to change their lives and encourage positive change. So sport is one way of doing that and we think Koi Sports fitted within with our core values for that way.
So what's next then for We Fix Feet?
Well, hopefully once COVID situation allows us, we're looking forward to working with our chosen grassroots team and also working with professional sports teams in both in education and care of their lower limbs. Generally promoting brand awareness. We're regarding more information and we're trying to get it out there to not only to general people but also to the sporting community as well.
And finally, where can I find out more about you and We Fix Feet?
You can find out more by various channels that can either be through our website, www.wefixfeet.com newpixleague.co.uk or through our social channels on Facebook, YouTube and Instagram.
You heard from Steve Gardner there of We Fix Feet, one of the elite champions of Koi Sports. Find out how you can get involved too and support us in developing social change and a sports for all culture through grassroots sport by visiting our website, koisports.co.uk. Now let's hear from the organisation that Steve has decided to invest in. Pete Bell from Step Out, Stay Out.
My name's Pete Bell and I'm the founder of Step Out, Stay Out. Step Out, Stay Out was started in 2018 when I visited a jail to talk about my life experience and my career in coaching to date. I was caught up in crime in the early 1990s and spent a couple of years falling foul of the law. I went through a difficult period and spent a little bit of time in jail. I was looking at spending a bit more time in jail, but sadly my son died a few weeks before I was being sentenced, and the judge gave me a probation order and I carried that out for a couple of years, and then that finished and I was unemployed, spent what I call a couple of years in the wilderness, still heavily drinking, getting into scrapes. And then one day, because I was attached to the job centre, I went to the job centre and I got a role coaching in the community for Notts County Football Club, and that was in 96. So I spent all the time since educating myself in football coaching, mentoring. And then, like I say, I got an opportunity to go into a prison and just talk about my life and my education. And that's what I've done since. And I've probably visited about 10 jails. And I also do a lot of community work and have projects on my estate to work with young people to keep them out of jail, really, or try and guide them to make better decisions and choices.
So that passion for grassroots sport and that activeness has always kind of been there, really.
Yeah, absolutely. I spent quite a lot of time as a young person being involved in football and cricket particular. So it's always been sort of in me. And then I sort of stopped playing, and at a certain age, there weren't the avenues there are now. And I sort of drifted into work and relationships and then picked up the football a little bit later. And then I really sort of really got into it. And my education really started around age 29 when I, like I say, got involved in football. And, you know, to date, I hold around about 25 different qualifications. I've travelled to places like the USA to get educated. I've been along the Eastern Cape in South Africa coaching in the townships. I've worked across the whole spectrum from coaching young children to educating people who want to be coaches. Never get up and think, got to go to work. It's just something I love, and it's a million miles away from where I was in the mid-1990s.
What an incredible journey. With Step Out, Stay Out, what was it that made you realise or want to use sport as that way to get through to ex-offenders who are maybe trying to rehabilitate into a normal community?
As we know, you know, sport and football in particular brings a lot of people together. It's a common interest people have. And because I had that criminal background, it just made sense. You know, this opportunity came along. I was not looking to go into jails. I didn't really feel you could go into jail, you know, once you'd been in jail. And the opportunity came along and, you know, I set the wheels in motion to try and get involved in it and accepted into the jail. And then I started to tell my story and more people were interested in my story. And one jail became, you know, three or four jails became eight, nine jails. And I just looked at it and thought, well, we know a lot of stigma exists for when people come out of jails, and it exists for me as well. And I just felt what a great opportunity to share that live life experience to inspire and affect change and say to people, look, you know, yes, it's tough and people will keep reminding you about your background, but if you really want to make a change like I did, the world's your oyster. You can achieve a lot of things, and that's what I've gone on to do. So I hope I can act as a role model for lots of people to change and think about the crimes they get involved in and the effect it has on their families and friendships with their friends, etc.
Well, I was going to touch upon that step out, stay out helps fill that void that's in place against ex-offenders, but it's also extremely important to not only those involved, but the people surrounding them as well.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, in the early days when I was going into prisons, people were saying to me, look, you know, if you affect one person, that's great. And for me, I couldn't get my head around that. It's like one person, that, you know, that's not an awful lot. But when you really analyse that one person, if they're part of a big family, got children, nieces and nephews, and a big friendship group, then that one person, by staying out of jail, can be affecting 40, 50, 60 other people because they're not in jail or she's not in jail. So it is really big, and it is really powerful when you really analyse it and get to grips with what you're doing. It takes you back a little bit when you really think about it.
It's not just the health benefits of being active or the social benefits for these ex-offenders, but also what you do helps give them a qualification to move forward and try and bridge over that void.
The power in what we do is open. It gives them a qualification to be something to be proud of and something to say to people, look, you know, when I was in jail, I didn't waste my time in there. I got educated in various ways in different classes and that, and one of them can be, you know, sport. So yeah, it's powerful in that sense. It gives them something to say, you know, I've tried to make an effort and help with my own rehabilitation.
You mentioned earlier how Step Out, Stay Out has allowed you to go coaching around the world and has grew as an organisation from one prison to many, many, many more. For you, what's the biggest success? Is it those opportunities that you've created, or is it more personal? Is it down to each person that you've seen come through your setup?
It's a very good question. I think it's a bit of both, really. It's good to see that individuals have conversations with you and say, I was considering doing this when I was released, but now you give me an idea to that coaching could be for me. When they talk to you about going back and just maybe not using it in sort of a club scenario, but coaching their own children or the nieces and nephews and having that little bit of extra knowledge to help people in the immediate family. I'm proud of all of it, really, but it's not really until you sit down and have conversations with people like yourself, you know, and they ask some of the questions they do that you really understand the enormity. You sort of just get on with it. But when you really do think about it, I'm just proud of that it can help people and it can help groups. But from a selfish point of view, you know, it helps me. It's tough for me, and I need a focus, and I need something to get up for and something to be proud about and something for my family to be proud about and something to build. This is about a legacy, you know, leaving a legacy for my children first and foremost. But it's certainly good for my mental health, and it keeps me active and focused, and long may it continue.
Absolutely. And you mentioned there about how each person, including yourself, who is part of this setup, gets something different out of it, whether it's someone that just wants to coach their nieces or nephews, maybe it's someone that wants to use that qualification to get themselves a job. How, as an organisation, though, do you deal with each person individually? Because you're going to have lots of different types of people, lots of different personalities to manage. How do you manage that?
For me, it's just about listening to different people and understanding their journey and why they're in prison and their aspirations and that. And it's not easy tasks, to be honest, but it's just about, for me, listening and just trying to understand. And I think that's what having a live life experience gives me. It gives me the chance to really understand somebody and the background and why they've done what they've done and the stigma and the lack of opportunities through the stigma that'll come their way, because, you know, I find it tough. A lot of people are released from prison and they don't really have places to live, or the family connections can be split. So it's just having that empathy and them understanding me as well, you know, and my background and the tragedy that I've gone through and the hard work to get where I've got to. And it's that mutual respect through understanding each other's stories and backgrounds.
Do you think that having that kind of mutual respect allows you to connect with these people almost on a different level?
Absolutely. And you'd have to see it unfold. You'd have to be in a jail where I speak to people, and you'd have to see their reactions when you say to them, I've sat where you've sat. And then you go on to tell them how you ended up in prison and what you've achieved since. And people sit up and the respect's there. You know, I've been in quite a few jails now, and I've never had one problem because I've told my story and I've been respectful and listened to their stories and I've spoke to them in the right way. I shake everybody's hand as they come in the classroom, and the connection's there from the get-go. It's powerful. You'd have to see it to believe what I'm saying. It's really big, the live life experience. The guys really do buy into that.
Let's move it from a personal perspective to almost a business perspective. What are those everyday challenges that you face as a grassroots setup, as a charity? What are those barriers that are sometimes in your way?
I'm glad you've asked that, because it, for me, it's capacity. It's having the chance to help as many people and get into involved in all the initiatives that are coming our way. So the challenges are around capacity. I find it hard to say no to people because, you know, I'm very passionate and enthusiastic about what I do. Funding is always right up there because, you know, you have these ideas, they all make sense, but then you've got to convince funders, you've got to fill in paperwork for funding. And that's not my forte. You know, I'm good at getting out there, meeting people, talking to people, coming up with ideas for initiatives. So they're the big challenges for me, capacity and accessing funding and the right people who can talk funding jargon, if you like. But having said that, I'm now connecting with people who help when they can and help develop the ethos of Step Out, Stay Out.
Well, one of these people who believe in your organisation creating social change through sport is Steve Gardner of We Fix Feet, who has made an investment through Koi Sports to your organisation. How will that help? What does that mean to you?
What it means is, and it doesn't matter what figure is donated, it means that people really are looking at what we do and they really like the story and the background, and, you know, they're showing an interest in what we do. So it shows me that they care about this area and people making wrong choices and people going into prisons to change people's lives, because a lot of people think people deserve to be in jail forever. So it just shows to me that there's people out there looking at it and going, well, let's give these people a chance, let's rehabilitate them, and let's help people who are trying to do that. So that's why we really appreciate that donation.
We've heard about your journey. We've heard about the journey of Step Out, Stay Out to this point. What are the objectives for the future?
Well, we've just got a base on the estate that I live on. So the only thing that needs doing there is getting some sort of office so we can then invite people along. So the base has been really big for us. We're just going to be developing initiatives and projects and courses around education, around keeping people out of jail for the youngsters. And we're just looking to engage and deliver live life experience talks and education programs around sport, but also develop English courses for refugees, walking football for people on the estate, tapping into the social prescribers from the NHS to help people with mental health issues, etc. So, yeah, that's sort of what we've got on the horizon as we grow and we get more people on board who can deliver in them areas. We're also in talks with a local college to back up this education offering and ideas that we have.
Well, Peter, you sound like you're going to be a very busy man if you're not already. It's been a pleasure speaking to you today. How can we find out more about Step Out, Stay Out, and how can we find you guys?
We're on Twitter at Step Out, Stay Out, also at SoSo Community. We have a website, stepoutstayout.uk. That's where we're at, and we always welcome any talks with anybody. We're really looking for people who share the ethos and where Step Out, Stay Out comes from in relation to my personal story.
So that's it for this week's Koi Sports CIC Grassroots Podcast. Thank you to Steve from We Fix Feet and Pete from Step Out, Stay Out. If you do have a spare 5 minutes after listening to this episode, make sure to check out the other projects Koi Sports are currently working on at koisports.co.uk. And finally, don't forget to download and subscribe so you never miss an episode. And I'll see you next time.